hypocrites. But anyway, I thought about, what's the menu? What you eating out there? You know, is it giving you heartburns? Amen. And you're at the Father's table. What's on the menu? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm just going to read a few verses, and then we're going to hopefully preach a little bit and be done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're in verse 24. Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Now, you know, if you're in a race, you need to be running. And we're applying this to Christians and believers that are in the race. We all should be running, but one receiveth the prize. In the Christian race, the idea is not who gets finishes first. The idea is finishing.
So run this race.
They do it for skill.
Talk about later.
I was one that beat it in my body.
Objection. Rest it by any means when I have preached to others. I'm a self-seeker. It's set up on the jail phone. It's useless no more or nothing more than useless. But I don't want to be useless. I think about what Paul said, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith, whether you be reprobated. And I examine my first two things. It just seems like this week I've been examining myself. So we've been talking about running through. Running through. That's how we've been talking about. Now, I want you to now turn the Bible to Acts chapter 15.
Acts chapter number 15, and I'll turn there with you in Acts chapter number 15. And, 16, I'm sorry. Can't read my own notes. Acts chapter 16.
I call your attention to something that's a reality, Jay. Loneliness is a reality. Loneliness is a reality. I don't want to call to your person raised with anything, but are you on it? Hey, I never will forget on a live and living subject. There's a lady told me one time that's a little lady. Somebody asked her if she's gonna get married, and she said, I'd rather be lonely than you're keeping on.
I'd rather be lonely as wishing that I was. But there's a lot of people alone. And, this is secular report right here. This is not something that's out of the Bible. It's just a fact that a lot of people are lonely today. Did you know that being lonely and experiencing loneliness, the equivalency, you know what it is? To smoking 15 cigarettes a day, as far as your health is concerned. You say, well, I just go smoking. I didn't say that. Because both's going to hurt you. Did you ever think, now that's a medical report, a psychological report, that loneliness is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. You smoke one big one. There was one man out here, and I had to call his attention. They kept talking about things. This has been years ago. Now, I'm not closing nothing into right now. Years ago at our work day, these men would talk about what they used to do. They'd talk about how fast they drove their cars and how many races they won and doing donuts out here on dirt roads and getting in fights and drinking and smoking. And there was a man out here one day said, if I had a cigarette 6 foot long, I'd smoke it. You know, I had to. I got, you know, this is me and old enough to be my uncle. And here I am, little old greenhorn. I got tired of hearing it because my boys heard it. And I called them up and I said, hey, if you want to talk about what you've done, what you want, and what you wish, I said, don't talk about it here. I mean, you want your kids to hear about that kind of stuff? Well, no. But loneliness, 50% of the population of the United States of America has no church membership. No, it's I'll preach later probably on church membership and how important it is. Be identified. You're identified. People are identified with a group of people. It does not matter. You remember the old I Love Lucy show? And she was lonely or whatever. She was the hope of the unhopeless. And they were singing that song, you know. I don't know if y'all remember none of that or not, but I Love Lucy. She was with all those down and outers. And that was her group. You can choose what group you want to be in. I choose the church. I choose the church of Jesus Christ to be identified with, the church. Now, no church membership. Kids don't know who they are. And I'm just coming off this report. 11-year-olds are starting to be old, growing up too quick, knowing too much, expecting things out of life that they're not even physiological or psychologically able to cope with. And it's making them old too fast. The other day, that's all I got on that napkin. I was, every once in a while, I had to stay in Fort Payne at lunchtime for some reason. And at Food City, they've got a dinner that's really good to eat it on time. If you wait, one time me and Kathy was up there, and it's hit or miss on the cornbread. You know what I did? I took my own cornbread. I mean, half a pound. I could do a whole pound. But my body, yeah, it's just not. I was in there, and there was a telephone on the table that I wanted to sit on because the manager turned on Fox News for me. Now, you know, I don't know if you like Fox News or not, but I'd rather see that as what was on. It was terrible soap opera stuff. So he actually turned it on for me, Fox News. And the lady that run the dining room there, I said, there's a phone there and something else. It looked like a vaporizer thing. And I don't know what it was. It might have been, I don't know what it was, but the phone was plugged in. And so I just, he cut the shot. She said, he's been gone 30 minutes. I said, well, if he comes, I'll meet. He said, him. He showed up, a young guy. He was 15 years old. And I said, sorry, buddy, I'll move over here. He said, no, I ain't doing nothing. He said, yeah. So I did for a minute, and then I'm thinking, I'm going to pull that other table over where I can see Fox News, and I'm still in range to talk to him. And I'm talking to him. He's looking me in the eye. He's talking to me intelligible. He'd tell me where he goes to church. You know, I ask him. Clean cut. And then his daddy showed up. And his daddy sat down. And I talked to him. He couldn't look me in the eye. He couldn't carry on a conversation. This is the reverse. It ain't supposed to be this way. And I said, well, your son told me where you go to church. He said, I don't know. He does. Hey, we're getting ready for Father's Day, ain't we? I didn't know this was going to happen, but today and next Sunday, it's probably we're going to be talking about physical fathers and spiritual fathers. And I'm thinking, how? Tell me how this works. The next generation's it's just the rule most of the time that the next generation is further from God than the first generation. Didn't appear to be on this. He was mangy looking. Maybe he forgot to get cleaned up. I don't know. It just looked like that. Just the way. How does stuff like that happen? How does Paul said it's going to wax worse and worse? How does one generation, one son, be the opposite of what the father was? Well, in Acts chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 1, then came he to Derbe, this is Paul, and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Timotheus was probably, we're estimating on my reading that Paul was maybe 65 years old when he was martyred. Maybe thereabouts. And so if Paul met him when he was 40, if they worked together 25 years, and I don't know, I'm just using figures here out of the blue. But there was a time when Paul told Timothy to let no man despise thy youth. Now, in Jesus' time, in biblical time, a man was not considered to be a full-fledged adult with the mentality, not just the muscle, but with a mentality of making logical, serious decisions until he was 40 years old. And Paul, Timothy may have been 40, under 40 when he said that. But regardless, Paul said, let no man despise thy youth. So you got a young preacher. You got a Charlie Smith. And Charlie and Abby let me know they were going to be pastoring, or I told them how they could grow their church. They could put a billboard out there. They got a billboard. But they can put a billboard on the Highway 27 and at their church with Charlie and Abby standing there. Pastor Abby, Pastor Charlie. I hug you. And bring them in. But when I was told that Charlie and Abby and Charlie was going to pastor, it was like somebody stuck a knife in my heart. I want my kids to serve God. I want them to be saved. But all I could remember, all I could think about is memories. Think about my life. And think about God helped them, because I know they're going to be in war. Not that their church is bad. They got a good case. But I know the heartache. My wife, wherever she is, and she may have forsaken me. But I know what they were facing. Much more so than 40 years ago on my part, or 45 years ago. Much more so the heartache. Now, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. You'll see his name mentioned on through where Paul, the abbreviation, Timothy. The abbreviation, it's the same word, it's the same young man. And he may have been around 20 years old. And he was at Derbe, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess. She was a Jew. But look at something else and believed. She wasn't trying to keep the law. She got saved. He had a saved mother. And later on, we'll see he had a saved grandmother named Lois. I know this is slow. You'll just have to forgive me. I can't preach 90 miles an hour. I can start trying to, but sometimes I think we need to slow down a little bit and let things soak down in. I love to go to the doctor when he can't speak English and you're trying to understand him. And plus, if they rattle off something real fast and run off, you don't even know it. I like to hear intelligible verbiage with listening ears. So his mother was saved, and she was a Jew, and believed. But his father was what? A Greek. That was not a compliment to the father. Now, I know the Bible says that the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks require knowledge. He might have been a Gnostic or an agnostic. He might have been a skeptic. Whatever he was definitely not a believer. He was not saved. Don't you know a woman has got a load on her hands that's a Christian, tried to raise a Christian child with a lost husband? Don't you know that that's hard? And that's usually the way it is. It's usually the husband unsaved and the wife is. But it can be the other way. And God help a child if the father's saved and the mother's not. I'm telling you. Now, his testimony as a young man, and by the way, Timothy, his name means something. Timotheos. Theos is God. Timmy, let me say the word is Timao means valuable, and Theos means God. And his name means he's somebody that's very valuable to God. And every little child is. Every young person is. Impressionable. Innocent. And needing help to make it through life. And we do the best we can, don't we, parents? We do the best we can. His testimony, Timothy, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, two churches, two towns with two churches, and they said, that's a good boy right there. Paul got that report. It's possible we believe some that he may have already known Lois and Eunice, which is his mother and his grandmother. It's possibly Paul already knew them, but here is where he met Timothy. This is where he met him, a young man. And verse 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him. What? You know, I guess the hardest thing would be one of the hardest things for a parent to be was if their child was called into mission work to see their child leave. Some parents would freeze on that and they would be in a sense of trauma to think that their children would be leaving with Paul. We don't know where Paul's been. We don't know. He's done been in jail a lot of times. He's been beaten. And here goes my son. Paul said, why don't you come with us? I just have to reflect back on my life sometimes. And you know, there was a man named Reno Davis. Some of y'all knew Reno Davis. Reno Davis was a missionary most of his life to Haiti, wherever. He went to Romania with me. He lost his walking stick. Okay. On the way back in Germany, he had lost his walking stick. Wasn't Berlin, it was that other town. I can't ever remember the name of that other big town where there's an Air Force base there. He lost his walking stick. He's done getting older, and he had work to do over there, and I had another place destiny to meet. I had another destiny on the very northern part of Romania, the very southern part near the Black Sea. And so I flew with him into his destination and helped him get there. And then he decided he wanted to go with me to where I was going to be. And me and him and the missionary that he was with went with us by train all the way up to nearly Ukraine. And he was getting feeble. But anyway, let me not get into the whole story. But on the way back, he lost his walking stick. And he said, can you find my walking stick? We're sitting in the airport for maybe 6 hours. I said, I'll see what I can do. I said, let me go to Lost and Found. I need to do some walking anyway, so there's a long walk. I got to the Lost and Found. I said, hey, sir, I'm looking for a walking stick that my friend lost. He said, come on in here. He took me into this room. There was 10,000 walking sticks in there. Maybe 1,000. He said, just pick you one out. I didn't even know what his walking stick looked like. I think the King of England had been there because there was a scepter. This is his walking stick. Alredo was walking. We were down at what's his name that died on the mission field? His brother Brown's brother-in-law, Archie Burton, went to the Ukraine. I believe it was Ukraine. He died over there, and they buried him over there. So we were down at Archie's church in Sylacauga at a meeting. Brother Brown and Chick might have been there, and it was a missionary conference. And I'm just a kid. I hadn't been saved long. I'd been to Haiti with them, with Ray and Hill and Reno. I spent 2 weeks in Haiti. And when I was in high school, senior year or the year before, I can't remember, I asked for Ray Campbell, who was our principal, and I asked permission to go to be in Haiti, to go take that mission trip. And you know what he said? You can go, you'll learn more down there, and you will hear. That's exact words. I didn't miss a lick. I graduated with D minuses. No, that's not true. That's not true. A little better than that. So we were at that mission conference. We'd been to Haiti, and I was sitting back there about where Brooklyn is. And he said, there's a young man here that God's calling to the mission field. And I'm looking around. He said, come on up here, Roger. What? He said, say a few words. I said, you all pray for me. And I wanted to say that I will not be bitter at Reno David. I came back, pastored here, and God burdened my heart to do mission work. And I got the men together. Some of y'all may remember. I know Chick and Derek probably remembers. I said, God's burdened my heart to do mission work. But I still have a burden to be this pastor here. And I said, if you want me to leave, I will leave. And they said, no, we want to help you. And I thank you for that. We've been in, it started out with Romania, then Kazakhstan, then Mexico, North Dakota two or three times, then to Guatemala, then to Maine. We left here and Kathy was sick. She was not feeling good half the time. And I'm sorry for that. I feel like I pushed her, you know. I'm sorry, she's the weaker vessel. She stayed right with me. But it's amazing how God has things planned out. And I'll just say this, that I've never asked nobody if I can preach in their church. I've never asked anybody, can I preach? When a man got his call to preach, he starts preaching. It don't have to be in a pulpit. We went to the nursing homes and preached. I preached in the jail. I preached on the street corner. I preached it at trade day. I know a man that's a well-known man. He's dead now, but he'd be in an area somewhere and he'd call he'd call the pastor that he's going to be driving by the church or close within range, and he'd say, I'm just letting you know I'm in the area, and I'm coming by, but I'm not coming by unless I pray. That's a business. That's a salesman. I'm very disappointed when I heard that. I'll never call his name. But we preached I preached five times while I was gone. And I knew God confirmed to me in a wonderful, wonderful way that we were right where the Lord wanted us to be. Especially when, after those services, no big altar call, in one place we stayed up till midnight, and we talked to people, and they talked to me and to Kathy about their hearts, their needs. That's what it's all about. Oh, there's no greater joy than to know that you're right in the middle of God's will for your life, and you don't have to be a pastor to enjoy and have the peace of God in your heart, that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, and you're where God wants you to be. But don't you know, good Christian women, grandma and mama, and now Paul says this, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took him and circumcised him. What? Because of the Jews, his mama, he was half Jew. Do you understand that Titus was a Gentile? And Paul did not have Titus to be circumcised to fit in because he was total Gentile. Matter of fact, the Pharisees followed him into Galatia and were saying, you not only need to be saved, you need to be circumcised. And he wouldn't get into that with Titus. Titus was a full-blooded Gentile. But Timothy was half Jew. And they keep down trouble. I can show you in Scripture where Paul says, I become all things for all men to save some. I can adjust to your criticism and your desire for me, as long as it does not hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he had Timothy circumcised. It was evident that his mama had peace, that they was not following Jewish traditions on circumcisions of the male. But Timothy willingly was circumcised. And Paul did it to keep down a ruckus. Ain't it something that sometimes in churches, pastors or the men of the church or whatever, have to adjust to the ridiculous demands of the people? And we don't have to, but there are things that we just let it run. As long as it's not destroying the effort of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then there's times when somebody's got to be called a shot, sometimes. Walter Schmidt was over the... Walter was over the cooking at Tennessee Temple to feed 6,000 students. He was over ordering all the food and over the kitchen and over the menu and all. And Dr. Robertson ate there during when he wasn't out of town. He'd eat there through the week with us. And it was always good. By the way, Glenn Beck, is okay. Are y'all with me? Everybody, are you in tune? Are we getting a good signal? You need to get charged. I need to plug in. We can get charged a little bit. Donald Trump, Glenn Beck was at Mar-a-Lago. His testimony is this. He was there and they were having dinner and they were having, what's that stuff at TV dinners? It wasn't a TV dinner, but it was, who said that? Hey, where did you come from? Why are you back there? Okay, I got you. I'm sorry I woke you up. Salisbury steak. Donald Trump come by the table where Glenn was sitting. He said, hey, And getting ready to eat, he said, you need to try that Salisbury steak. It's good. It's good. I mean, it's the best, that Salisbury steak. It wasn't a TV dinner, I guarantee you that much. So they went on. It's getting time to eat. Glenn Beck said, I don't like Salisbury steak. So, President, come by. You're going to try some of that Salisbury steak? So he said, yes, sir. So he went over there, got some Salisbury steak. President, come back by. Hey, like that Salisbury steak? He said, I love it. Don't criticize the hand that's feeding you, right? There was not Walter Smith every Sunday fried chicken. Every Sunday, that's what we always ate. Fried chicken. 6,000 chickens gave their lives, or maybe 2,000, to feed all them, all of us. One Sunday had steak. One Sunday they had steak. Now, Walter came by Dr. Robinson and said, Dr. Robinson, how you like that steak? He said, got a good deal on it. He said, it's real good, Walter. Walter told this story. I mean, he told us this story. He said, it's good, real good, Walter. But one thing, we always eat fried chicken here on Sunday, always. Somebody's got to sometimes just say, this is it. Paul said, Him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were with those quarters, for they knew that all his father, for they all knew that his father was a what? You can just fill in the blank there with other words that you know other fathers. They said, he's going to turn out just like his daddy is what he's going to do. Not necessarily so. He had a testimony of knowing God and at least two other churches. Now, I'm wanting to get a little further along if we can. If we can just get a little further along. He took him. He took him. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to go quickly over some scriptures. As Timothy went with Paul, and I'll say this much too, listen to this. He had an earthly father, and too bad his earthly father could not have been his spiritual father. But just as he met Paul, Paul became his spiritual father. Aren't you glad? My daddy, I love my daddy. My daddy was a good Christian man. Chick, let me ask you something. You knew daddy long further than I did. Was my daddy a good Christian? You knew him well. It ain't always the case with everybody. On the other hand, my mama got right with God. That's all I'm going to say before she died. So I've been there. I've been in between. So here's Paul. And there's Timothy. And guess who he's with? Silas. Paul, Silas, Timothy. The very first thing that happens in chapter 16. I think it's chapter 16. But anyway, Paul and Silas is in jail. Where's Timothy? Youthful offender, maybe. Or too young, you know. He's just out. I don't know. But he's somewhere around. Paul and Silas is in jail. And there's Timothy. Well, the preacher's in jail on my missionary journey here. Then he had to wait on Paul. Acts 17:14, Acts 18:5. There's, you know, let me just scan a little bit of this. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in spirit and was testifying to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, you know what, Paul? Your blood be upon your own hands. I'm clean from thenceforth. Henceforth, I will go to the Gentiles. He was seeing the real world. He was seeing the reaction to Christianity. I've heard it said, and I don't believe it. And I know a fellow that calls himself an evangelist. I think he's still alive. And he'd go over to the Philippines or somewhere and come back and say we had 5,000 people saved. This was the real world. You won't hear a missionary come back and say, look, give us a report. Okay, I've been in jail. Okay, they stoned me. You don't hear none of that. I wonder why. And you don't have to turn there, but in Romans, he salutes Timothy. Timothy's getting a little older. The years are passing. And he says in Romans, he said, Timotheus, my work fellow, can depend on him. You got a lead man when you're building a building. You got a man on that's a lineman, and you got a man on the ground that's watching the lineman. You got a lead man in anything that's going to be accomplished. And Paul said, Timothy is working for me and with me. Let me just give you a couple more of these. It's following the life of Paul and Timothy. In Corinthians, Corinth was the most carnal church that's ever been up until now. Now there's a lot of it. Was so carnal and so wicked, the town, the city. It was a seaport city. A commerce is sort of like the Strait of Hormuz. It's where all the transportation came. And in Corinth, I want you to understand, they were so wicked. In their temple, they had priestesses that shaved their heads and committed fornication on the temple steps. It's a wicked city. And it was known to this also that if somebody wanted to live it out and go have a good time, like Mardi Gras and stuff like that, sin city, they would say, let's go Corinthicize. And everybody knew exactly what you meant. And you know what? Guess who was there? And here's what it says. For this cause have I sent unto you, he's talking, this Corinth, he's sending Timothy there. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved. Now, not only, he's getting a little further now, not only my workman, but he says, I've sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. He become a closer relationship than just a workman. You got friends like that. You got young people in your life that's like that. He's my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which is in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. This church had a lot of problems. It was full of fornication. A man was living with his father's wife, and the church were not doing anything about it. They were fighting, actually just bickering at one another all the time. And there's young Timothy coming in. Paul said, he's going to remind you of the way I am. In other words, he's representing me. Ain't that something? Hey, this may be boring to you, but I'm going to tell you what, to study the Bible is the most wonderful thing you can do, friends. Let me move over just a little bit. keep on my time check. I may be in overtime here for a couple of minutes. And again, in Corinthians, in the last chapter, he said, now Timotheus come, if he comes by your church, see, now in other words, here you can obviously see that now there's some separation between Paul and Timothy. They're not in the same area, but they're still doing the work, and Timothy's holding the fort. He's doing right. He's following through. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. Pardon me if it's too personal, war stories, but there was a time in the first church that I pastored at Aubrey Brown, it got so, whatever word you want to put in there, so ungood, that I called Brother Brown. I said, I got to have a meeting. And I said, I need you to be there if you can and just be sitting on the sides if I need you to take over this meeting. And he sat in the auditorium while we had the meeting, and I didn't have to call Brother Brown to help me. But he was there if I needed him. If you knew Brother Brown, you'd be glad he was on your side. Now, if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Now, I want to say this. Now, you need to hear me out. Now, we'll don't get excited. You're not going to starve to death. But we got preachers coming along now that ain't following the path of the old people. We got a new group of preachers that are compromising. We got a new group of preachers coming out of Bible schools that think they can hit the ground running with full support, be supported, I'm not for this internship. You may be if you want to be, and you may not even know what I'm talking about. They come right out of college, they come right in for full support behind another pastor with full support, carry on. I'm for coming up the hard way. And I may be biased for that. I'm saying get a job. Anyway, I need to be preaching at the preacher's meeting, Derek. Derek's going to come and sit in with me at a preacher's meeting if God don't change the message. And if he does, he said, hey, he's following the ancients. He's not saying, that's the way. That, you know, there's a new way of doing things. There's a new Bible. We need to slack up on this hellfire brimstone preaching. I think we need to speed it up a little bit. 2 Corinthians, all the way in 2nd. We're coming to a head. 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing this church the second letter. There was a letter between these two letters, 1st and 2nd, that never was canonized and was lost. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and to Timothy, he changes the word. He goes from my missionary fellow laborer to my son, and now he's saying, Timothy. He's got so friendly with Timothy, so close, he's abbreviated the name. You know how to do it. Brother Brown would say to me, hey, Raj, how you doing? I'm saying, I'm okay. I'm just a servant of the Lord, Brother Aubrey Brown, Mr. Aubrey Brown. Every time, Brother Roach would call me, hey, buddy, how you doing? I miss that voice. I miss those voices. Hey, buddy. He's writing this in Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in the cave. He addresses, he's saying, look, this is me and Timothy's effort. He may have had Timothy writing because Paul had eye problems. And in one of the, I believe it might have been Galatians, I'm not sure, Paul said, you see how large a letter I have wrote. And it don't mean a long letter because it wasn't many chapters. It means the letters, the writing was big because he wrote it himself and he couldn't see good. And also, He had secretarial work. He was doing the writing for him. Do the writing for him. Write this down. Can you imagine writing for Paul? And quickly. And in 7:14, let me see what this one said. I may have got that verse wrong right there. Anyway, we'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that right now. And then we're going to look in Timothy. Now listen, let's look over in Timothy together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, 1 verse 1, by the commandment of God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Look at this. Unto Timothy, my own son, not just son, my own son, in the faith. He's wrote 1st, 2nd Timothy to Timothy. And you know where, do you know where he was when he wrote this? The Mamertine prison dungeon. It was a holding cell deep in the ground. And when you were put there by the Romans, it was because you were waiting on the time for your execution. And he's there writing from prison. They're called the prison epistles. There's several of them. Wrote in the prisons. And he wrote the second letter, 2 Timothy. And it's still going to Timothy, verse 2, my beloved, my dearly. It's more extreme. It's more compassionate. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. And he tells him that you need to be strong. In chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, there therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, look, Paul's encouraging Timothy, and Paul's in prison about to die. And he knows there's hardships ahead for Timothy as he follows his teacher and leader's footsteps. Then he says in chapter 3, he tells him how bad things are going to get. This know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. He says, you think it's bad now? You wait. You wait as you live and just going to see how bad it's going to be. And then he gives him a charge in chapter 4. A charge is a commandment that can be obeyed or disobeyed. In chapter 4, verse 1, this is just before Paul is martyred. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing in his kingdom. Three words. What? Preach the word. Preach the word. That's the only thing that's going to help you and save the world is preaching the word. We got little trees. When I'm out in the woods a lot. Come on, son. I'm in the woods a lot. These boys are. They're coming along. I got enough muscle coming along. I'll never have to mow my grass again or weed eat. I got help with firewood. You wouldn't believe how these boys helped me as my other sons helped me when they were coming up. Walter, I think his name's Walter. I can't remember his first name. Rake Straw, he's been coming to the dinner with him and his wife. He told me how rich I was. And I realize how rich I am. I'm rich. Not with silver and gold. I'm in the woods a lot, out in the fields, And I see a tree. I see trees. And I look at them. I don't like to cut a good tree. We got a lot that fall down on the mountain. It's shallow rooted, and at least a little wind sometimes will blow a tree down, and then we cut it up for firewood. But I see a tree. Sometimes, you know, it's getting old. Sometimes it's middle-aged or whatever. But you know what? Beside that little tree, that big tree, little tree. And sometimes I've had to cut a big tree and it fell on a little tree. And I do my best not to hurt a little tree. Do you know? So you got a big tree and you got a little tree. When the sun's hard beating on the big tree, it don't ever reach a little tree. It's comforted when the storms and the wind blows. It's the big tree protects that little tree. But there's going to come a time, son, when the big tree falls. There's going to come a time. Thank you. Let's stand. What a responsibility the big tree has. The mama, the daddy, the grandparent, the uncle, the aunt. What a responsibility adults have. And what a future the little tree has. And we have to pray. We have to work together. Paul, Timothy was Paul's little tree. Father, have your way. You know if you've spoken to anybody. I know, Lord, your word has its effect. And I pray for anybody in this building that for whatever reason they have to need for prayer, they'll make this altar that place. And if anybody's unsaved, they'll be saved. Let it be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.